This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios. This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola Sanchez, Philly's superstar of design and the self-proclaimed creator of tomorrow's unique style. Style with Stevola and his friends from around the fashion globe. And now, one of Philadelphia's most iconic providers of everything style. Stevola Sanchez. Stevola Sanchez.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am your host, Stevola. You are listening to Style with Stevola on WPHT 1210. Thank you all out there in Radioland for tuning in. Before I bring on my very exciting guest, I want to share a little story about her and how we met. It was a few years ago. My partner and I purchased tickets to see Cher in concert at the MGM in Las Vegas. Everyone knows who knows me knows how obsessed I am with Cher. We had the best time at the concert and we were chatting about the evening and how it was so perfect and it couldn't possibly get any better. We didn't want the night to end, so we decided to stop at a bar for a nightcap. And then it happened. I see this vision. A beautiful woman across the room with a beautiful smile. She was laughing and enjoying life, a ray of light. Something came over me and I told myself, I need to meet this woman. My partner and I walked over, started chatting with her and her partner at the time, and it became the continuation of a magical night. We talked, laughed, and danced the night away. I felt like I knew her for my entire life. The connection was crazy. I know it sounds like a love story, and it was a beautiful new friendship. We've stayed in touch ever since. And then I come to find out, not only is she a lovely person, she's also an incredibly talented producer. She is the founder and has built her own production company. She has won an Oscar and an Israeli Academy Award for her incredible work. She's made the Forbes 30 Under 30 list in 2016 for her brilliant filmmaking and social activism. She's also produced SNL Israel, which is called, I hope I don't destroy this, Eretz Nederet. She's amazing in every way. I am so honored to introduce you, Rotem Alima. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy.
Funny.
Sorry?
Me too. I said it's funny because we never talked about it, you and me, and I felt the same thing when I saw you at this bar in Vegas. I saw you and Vic, and I was like, I want to be friends with those people. It's so funny. We both felt the same, and we never talked about it. I didn't know that.
Yes, like that
before we start talking even.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's so funny that you mentioned that because we never did. And I love that because, I mean, it was just instant. And I felt it from you because, it was just that instant connection. It was incredible. And the night, we were like saying, Victor and I, even before we met, you were like, this night can't get any better. And it did. We met you. So thank you for being on the show. And I'm so honored and happy that you decided to do this. So honestly, thank you so much.
Of course, I'm very happy. Every opportunity I have to talk to you and be at your wonderful, beautiful presence, I will always grab it with two hands and do it, of course.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you. All right. So I want the listeners to get to know a little bit about you. So can you just give us a little bit of your background, you know, just where you're from, all the good stuff.
Okay, so I grew up in a small town in Israel. It's such a small town that not even all Israelis know it. And when I grew up, it was, today there are more people there, but when I was a kid, it was mostly agricultural. So it was all like strawberry fields and pecan fields and mango. And you had all those fruits and vegetables all over. And we would walk around and just pick them straight from the ground or from the trees. And
Wow.
It was honestly more fruit than people. My class, my entire class, was 15 people, 1-5, 15
people.
My entire school as a child, as like before high school, my entire school was like, I think, 100 kids. So that's how small it is.
Wow.
Was it like something different,
but the grades, was it like through kindergarten through high school?
No. So that was until middle school. And then in middle school, I changed to another school in a different city. But even then, my grade, my entire class was 100 people. And for me, it felt huge because I moved from such a small place, and high school felt so big. yes, and I was this weird kid, the ugly duckling, didn't fit in, and was, you know, everyone was focusing on surviving, on, like, all the girls were talking about how they're going to get married young and have kids, and I was like, I'm going to be a film producer, I'm going to move to Hollywood, and I'm going to live in Malibu. I didn't even know that Malibu and Hollywood are in the same place called LA.
Right.
I didn't know what it is. And I was like, I'm going to be an executive producer. I was very specific. I was specific about it since a very, very young age. I think since I'm 12, I knew that's what I'm going to be in life. Like, if you would ask me, I would say I want to be a spy, but that's what I want to be. But if you ask me what you're going to be, I knew I'm going to be a film producer. So I start making movies at a very young age.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when did you pick up your first camera?
So my first official movie was at the age of 16. And at the age of 18, it got to a film festival. And I thought I reached the top of my life. Nothing will ever beat that. And I got, you know, I was at the top.
At 17 or 18, you said?
Yes. Well, that's what I thought.
Right, honestly, right.
I did that, but I didn't think that anything can be better than that. Yeah.
I mean, what an incredible... Sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to make this statement. Yeah. Like, what an incredible achievement. I mean, you knew at a young age what you wanted. You went after it, and you did your first movie, and the first movie you did went to a film festival. Like, that's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, when we did it, it was a very, very challenging movie. And I always told my crew and everyone in class that we are going to be in film festivals. I don't care, whatever it takes, we're going to do it. And everyone was making fun of me. They thought I'm delusional. You know, I was talking, I would never forget about it. One day in class, I had a really good relationship with one of my film teacher, and we had an argument, and he didn't want to give me something that I wanted. And I left the room, and I came back super dramatic, saying, you know what? If you're not going to give me that right now, when I'll win the Oscar, you're not going to be on my thank you list.
Oh my God. Hold that thought. Hold that thought really quickly, Rotem, because we have to take a break. But oh my gosh, this is a good one. Good story.
Okay.
So let's not lose that thought, but we have to take a break. So please stay tuned. We have so much more to talk about with the amazing Rotem Malima. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Style with Stivala. I am here with the incredibly talented producer, Rotem Alima. So, Rotem, we just left off when we were talking about how you were in school and you had asked for something from one of the instructors and they didn't give it to you. So can you kind of start over with that story again? Because I love where you ended up before the break.
We were negotiating about this thing that I wanted, and he said no to me, and I was very dramatic, and I left the room, and I came back, and I told him that if he's not going to give it to me, I'm not going to say thank you to him when I win the Oscar. And he started laughing so hard that he just gave me whatever I want. But he told me, but now you're making me a promise that when you win the Oscar, you're going to thank me. And I said, yes, I promise. And when I won the Oscar, I got an email from him saying that he always believed in me and he always, like, he reminded me of that story. And that was such an amazing thing, because beside of him, most of the people in my life didn't believe in me and always make fun of me or pushed me down or told me I'm delusional or didn't understand my vision. And they, you know, at school, they would make songs about me and they were really make fun of me. And I always had that vision. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't something, it wasn't a fantasy. It was a vision. And I was very specific about it. And I went all in with that. And even, you know, before I signed up to film school, to the university, I was supposed to go to business school. I had a really good job. I wanted to keep doing it. And I just signed up to business school. I decided I'm not going to pursue my vision. And when I got to Tel Aviv University with my ex to check the engineering department for him, I just felt it in my body. I just felt physically, I felt it. And I told him, we can't go on with our day before I'm going to the film department and I'm signing in. And he's like, you're crazy. You are going to business school. What are you talking about? I was like, no. I'm going to film school. And I went there and they didn't let me in because it was already full and there was a very long waiting list. And I was like,
Wow.
I'm going to get in. Yes. And I was like, so I convinced the secretary to do the worst mistake of her life by giving me a business card. And I called her and emailed her every single day at the same time.
Wow.
And she really tried to help me and she really liked my passion, but she was like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. And she was trying to find plan B's for me. And I told her, I don't want to have plan B. I'm doing only plan A. If we'll do plan A and I will fail, then I will do your plan B. But I don't want to do plan B. I want to go to film school. So I insist to talk with the head of the department. And I told her, if he will say no to me, then we'll do your plan B. But I'm not doing plan B before I'm talking to him. So after tons of calls and emails, one day she calls me right before I usually call her. And I'm like, Shelly, I was just about to call you. And she's like, I know. and she said, you know what? The head of the department is willing to talk to you. Can you come at this day at this time? I said, no, I can't, but I'll make myself available and I will be there. And I came and I did this horrible movie for him. And I was sitting there super passionate. I wrote letters. I brought letters of recommendation from my teachers from school. I brought an article about the movie I did that was in film festival. I brought that movie. I filmed a terrible movie for him. And I begged him. I was like, I just need you to give me a shot. That's all I need. I know there is a waiting list. I really want this. And he let me in. And I was picking this professor that I was really inspired by. And I really wanted to learn from him. And I was so excited. You know, I was sitting in the front row and I was doing those crazy movies for him. And like, I was bringing horses and like crazy locations. And I did those over the top things. And every time he would say, I'm not talented. I shouldn't be here. I should quit. He would say, my things are, I can't curse on that show, I know, so I'm not going to use the exact word he used.
yes, we're not allowed.
I know. he was using really, like, he was cursing and he was, like, really pushing me down. So every week from being on the first row, super excited. I went back another row and another row. And I was like shutting my mouth, just please don't talk to me. And he enjoyed abusing me so much that every class he would have to make a comment. And at the last class, yes, at the last class, I was about to quit. I was like, okay, they didn't want me at the beginning. He, for some reason, think I'm the worst person for that right. job. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not my vision. Maybe it's not my calling in life. So I was thinking of just quitting. And luckily for me, he wasn't a lazy man. And even though I was sitting on the last row in class, he was mm-hmm. climbing up the stairs. And he came to me and he was standing just above me. And he started making fun of the movie I'm going to make for the end of the year. Because from first year to second year, if you want to be in the production department, you need to make a movie. And from 250 people, only 50 people get in. So he started making fun of me and my the movie I'm going to make.
And wait, and this is in class in front of everyone?
In front of everyone. And
what?
I couldn't hear what he was saying because all I can hear and see was the movie I'm going to make for them. And I left class and I knew everyone was already got their teams. So I didn't have a team, but I called my sisters and I said, I don't care what you're doing tonight, cancel your plans because we have a production meeting. And obviously my amazing sister did that and they canceled their plans and we were sitting down and I told them, this is the script. You're doing that. You're doing that. You're doing that. Go. And they all helped me. And I was producing this movie by myself. I was directing it. I shot it. I did the lighting. I did everything on set. It was me, one actress and makeup artist. And my ex-boyfriend was running around making sandwiches and errands and stuff like that. But all the rest I did by myself. Yeah.
Wow.
And yes, and I worked on this movie 24/7 for a full week. And I finished editing on the day of my meeting with them. And I finished at 6 in the morning. I drove from one city in Israel to my parents' small town, to Tel Aviv. And I got there after I didn't sleep for a week. And I was super vulnerable. And I told them how this is my vision. And if they will help me, I'm going to win an Oscar. And I'm going to be in an A festival. And I'm going to do that and that and that. And I list all my to-do list. And there was one woman there that started arguing with me, saying my goals are too high, I'm not going to achieve them, and we start arguing. And when I left there, I was sure I was in. I was sure they loved my portfolio. I was sure they loved me. I was sure that even though she thought I am aiming too far, that they will still want me in. And a week has passed, and I look at the list of the people who got in, and I don't see my name. And I was shocked.
Heartbreaking.
I was shocked. And I was like, okay, if he doesn't believe I'm supposed to be there, and they don't believe I'm supposed to be there, and no one believes I'm supposed to be there, maybe I am delusional. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe it's not for me. So I decided I'm not appealing, and I'm just letting go. And I just trust the universe and God to just guide me to my real path. And I just released that. And a few days later, I booked a flight with a good friend of mine. And it was in the middle of the night. It was 2 a.m. I was at the train on my way to the airport. And I'm getting an email from one of the people that were in the committee that chose the students that are going to be in production department. And he says, I can't believe you're digging in. I can't believe you're not appealing. You can't appeal anymore. But if you will let me, I would want to appeal on your behalf because I believe you should be there. And I start crying, Stevie.
Oh,
you have
God,
no
beautiful.
Idea. I cried like crazy, like with tears. And like I was, everyone on the train probably thought that someone died because I was so emotional.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And I said yes.
Rotem, hold that thought. That's, oh my God, what a beautiful, beautiful story. And oh my God, it's so inspiring. I mean, you kept going for it because this is your dream. And I love that. But I want to continue this when we come back. So, okay, everyone, we need to take another break. Stay tuned for more with Rotem Alima, the amazing producer of Rotem Alima Productions. Don't touch that dial.
It's Style with Stila. Once again, Sanchez.
Welcome back. You are listening to Style with Stevila, and we are about halfway through the show. And I feel like we have so much more to talk about with the highly accomplished producer, Rotem Alima. If you're just tuning in and you missed the first half of the show, not to worry. Go to radio.com and you can listen to all the past shows, including this one that will be uploaded on Monday. So Rotem, before we got to the break, you were just talking about this beautiful story, how I mean, pretty much you've been knocked down, knocked down, knocked down, but this was your dream. And then someone saw something in you and was willing to go to bat for you or to fight for you to get into this, what would you call it? Like it's a top 50 of what again?
Of my film school. It's just it's divided to three departments, and yeah, one of them is production. And I just wanted to get into production because if you are in production, you're making movies, and all the rest of them are either writing or analyzing movies, but not making movies. And I wanted to make, I wanted to create, I wanted to get my voice out and inspire people.
Amazing.
So it was.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So what happened was this teacher told me that he believes in me, he want to fight for me, and he asked for my permission for that. And I said yes, of course. And he appealed on my behalf, but I was the one to meet the head of the department and convince him that he should give me a spot. Yeah. And he loved me. He thought I'm super talented. He was very impressed, and he let me in. And with me, all I need is one person to believe in me. If one person tell me, I believe in you, you're good, I'll do anything I can, everything I can to prove them right. So on the second year of university, I was already in a competition of five best documentary directors, student directors in Israel, called the Perlov film competition. And then the year after, I was at the Berlinale Talent. And then a year after, my movie won the Student Academy Award here at the Oscars and the Israeli Academy Awards. A year after, I was again nominated for an Israeli Academy Award with a feature film I produced. And then a year later, I got to the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. Same year as Gal Gadot, by the way. We were at the same list.
Oh my God, amazing. Yes. I want to kind of just jump back to something. I mean, what incredible accomplishments. Yeah. And congratulations on all that success. I wanted just to kind of just, and it's also for me too, but also the listeners, just so just explain to us what exactly a producer does for a film.
So it's changing, and yeah, you have all types of producers. Mm-hmm. But basically, a producer is the person who brings the money in, who brings the talents in, who makes sure that everything happens. And it's like if you're trying, let's try to say it's like a startup, okay? And you have the CEO, mm-hmm, who have the vision, right? So the producer, mm-hmm, is taking a script and make it alive and make it a real a thing that you can watch, right? A physical, mm-hmm, thing. It takes from paper to reality. So the producer will raise the money, bring the talent, make sure everyone has everything they need to do the best job that they can. It's also find a distributor, and do the marketing for the film. So it's basically being like a CEO of a company.
But, okay.
You know, every time you're a different CEO because you have a different movie, and that's the magic of it, because one day you can do a rom-com and the day after you can do a movie about the Holocaust, you know, so it's always different. You have different types of
totally. That was very helpful. Thank you. So now I have a little bit more understanding. And I hope the listeners do too. But so let's just jump back, because I mean, how old were you when you won these Oscars?
I was 27, I think, or 26. I don't remember. I think 27.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And what films were they for?
So both of them won, both of the Oscars, the Israeli and the American, was for the movie Paris on the Water.
Yes.
And it's a short. It was actually my graduate film from school.
Oh,
and
wow.
And after that, yes, and a year later, I was nominated for the indie category in the Israeli Academy Awards for a feature film I produced called Once There Was a Girl.
Wow. Well, yes. I watched Paris on the Water, and I highly recommend it. I mean, so beautiful, so beautifully done. And the storyline was
so
powerful. And for a short, I mean, what, it's like 38 minutes, I think it is, right?
27
minutes. And how powerful. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I highly recommend it. So I just wanted to ask you if somebody wanted to see it, where could they go to find it? Do they download it? Is there somewhere they can go to watch it?
Actually, no, because you need a password. I can the link if you want, and you can post it.
Okay.
But it's not. Yeah, it had a really long shelf life. Usually, short movies, after a few months, you can release them. But this specific one won so many awards around the world and was screened in so many places and TV channels and VODs and won awards way, like, even for a few years. So we don't have it just released online.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel very special and very lucky to have seen it then. But hopefully one day it'll be out there. And once people can have access to it, I mean, it's a stunning, stunning short. So thank you for sharing that
thank
with me.
You.
I really appreciate that. So let's move on to, because there's also some work that you had done, which you worked with Reebok and HP as a producer. Like, what's it like? How do you segue into something like that when you're kind of known for shorts and feature films?
So it's a funny story, actually. When I was in school, I was already started producing, and I started working for the biggest TV channel in Israel. And a year later, I left there to work for a big commercial company. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to produce commercials, because in Israel that's where you make the money. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and after a year I decided I want to move to LA, and I was like, okay, in the meantime, until I'll get my visa, I didn't know what to do, because all I know how to do is producing, because that's what I did all my life. So I was like, I'll just produce until I'll get a visa. And right away, I got this big client, and I did this commercial, and I was very happy. But then for 2 months, I didn't have work. No one wanted to work with me, because I was this young girl that no one knew she is. And yes, I won awards, and I won, and here and there. But in this industry of commercials, no one, you know. And I sent emails and Facebook messages and everything to every marketing manager, every producer, every ad agency, every person I could think of. Every day I would send hundreds of messages And I would introduce myself and I would ask for a shot and I would ask people to give me a chance. And for 2 months, no one answered. And I thought to myself, what have I done? I had this really big position. I was a producer in this big company. I was making good money. I didn't work so hard. Everything was good. Why did they leave everything to just, you know, to do that? But how crazy am I? And then one day I'm getting an answer from someone. I'm getting a call from someone saying, hey, is this Rotem? Yes. Is that? So I'm working for this ad agency. We have a Reebok commercial and we need someone to produce it. And somehow I got your text and I would love to meet you. Are you free? Wow. I was like, yes, I'm on my way to you. Send me the address. I got ready. I went to his office. I was like, let's do this.
That's amazing.
He was so excited about me being so excited, and he hired me for the job. And I did this commercial for Reebok, and then from then things are just start happening. I start got a bigger and bigger and bigger project, and then I was like, okay, I'll move now to LA. But then I had this big commercial for HP, and I was like, okay, now I'll move to LA. But then I got this big commercial for the Israeli tourism ministry. And then, you know, so every time I wanted to leave, I got a bigger production. Then I started working with the Israeli president. I even got a letter of recommendation from him. When I moved to LA, I got a letter of recommendation from the Israeli president.
Wow.
Yes. And then I got TV shows. And every time I was like, I'll get a bigger production and I'll be happy. And then I realized after producing Eretz Nedaret, which is the Israeli NFL and the biggest TV show in Israel, I realized that it's not about how big the production is. Mm-hmm. It's about I need to move to LA. I need to create in LA. I need to influence millions of people, tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, not just, you know. So I packed the bag. Hold that thought.
Sorry to interrupt you. We get back from the break. We'll start the chapter in LA. We need to take another break. So please stay tuned for more with my special guest Rotem Alima. We'll be back.
This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola.
Welcome back. You are listening to Style with Stevola. So Rotem, before the break, we were talking about how you had, I mean, you were just accomplishing all of this amazing stuff. And then you were like, I need to reach even more people. I'm going to move to La La Land or Los Angeles. So when did you decide that? And then like tell us about that transition.
So, you know, as you know, since I was a kid, LA was my Mecca. That was the place I wanted to go. That was the place I knew I need to be. But it always felt like it's just a far dream away. So after doing the biggest TV show in Israel, I decided that it's time for me to move to LA because a bigger production is not what will make me satisfied. I want to influence a lot of people. I want to influence hundreds of millions of people, and I want to create some good in the world, and I want to change the narrative that's going on. So I moved to LA. I got an O-1 visa, which is an extraordinary ability. It's the Justin Bieber visa, and I packed my one suitcase, and I moved to LA.
Wow!
And honestly, that was the most challenging thing that I ever done. My 3 years in LA, my first 2 years were the worst of my life. I was so lonely and I was so sad. And I was trying so hard to make friends and I was trying so hard to make it into the industry. And you know, people were impressed by me. I had American clients that I work with and I did these crazy productions for and saved them so much money. But when I came to LA and I was like, let's work together in LA, they told me, we know in Israel you're amazing, but we don't know how you are in LA. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, if you think I'm amazing, I can be amazing anywhere. They didn't want to give me a chance. And I was struggling, and, you know, but you know what? Today, I'm so happy. And LA is my home. And I have so many friends. When I'm hosting a party, it's like 100 people show up. Unless it's COVID, and then only, you know, in COVID time, I can do that. But before COVID,
right. Right.
I will host
right.
dinners. Just, I will host Shabbat dinner, and 100 people will show up. So
wonderful.
I have a lot of friends now, and I got finally breakthrough into the industry, and I'm producing a movie right now, and I'm developing a few amazing movies.
So great. So great.
And
I'm so happy
super
for
busy,
you.
And I'm, yes, and I got to do, again, my, you know, in Israel, I used to do a lot of volunteer work, and I would create these volunteer projects and help others. And when I was here at the beginning, I was struggling. I couldn't, I was doing it in Israel from, you know, I would, at the beginning, I was trying to do volunteering projects in Israel, but it was, everything was a struggle. But now yeah. I can finally back to do that. And I can finally back, I'm now helping wounded soldiers in this beautiful project, and I'm helping them do the branding and marketing for the project so they can get more funding, so they can help more wounded soldiers to get yeah. back to normal life. And I'm helping kids from, you know, from and like inner city kids
yeah.
with all kind of their projects. And so I finally got back to be in the place of that I can really make a change and I can really help. And that's what I'm aiming for. I just want to try and make this world a better place to live in, even if it's a small contribution. I'm doing my best to just do that.
I love it. That's really, really, really wonderful. And I mean, and that was actually going to be my next question, because I know that you're giving back to the community and, you know, and, you know, and that you want to empower others. And I think that's really, really so important. So I thank you for that. So I'd like to kind of wrap up and just, you know, and maybe tell us a little bit about, like, what advice would you give to any young person out there that has a dream like you had and still have?
Just following it. If you feel it, if you really feel it from the inside, if you know that's your calling in life, don't let anyone push you down. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it. You know, because if someone tell you you can't do something, they're not talking about you. They're talking about themselves. They can do it, so they project it on you. So if you really, I believe that if you want something for real and you are committed, you can achieve anything and you can be whatever you want to be. And every day, every second is an opportunity to change. So even if you, you know, even if your life, you have a lot of struggle, especially now with COVID, so many people struggle so hard, you know,
yeah.
this time it's so hard. And, but you know what? It's going to pass and we are stronger than that. And you, all you need is to believe and to pursue and keep trying. You know, there is this sentence that talks about that failure is not the opposite of success. It's just one stepstone on the way to get to your success. And that's how I feel. Every time someone told me I can't, every time someone didn't give me a shot, every time someone told me I'm not talented, that just drives me more and more and more to be more committed and to
yeah.
prove myself that I can do it. So my advice is just believe in you and don't let the other voices from the outside get into you.
Wow. So like I said, at the beginning of the show, you are a ray of light, and I saw it across the bar. and I hope the listeners feel the same way, because really, truly, I mean, you've overcome a lot in your life, and, you know, and with people saying that you can't do something, and look at you now. I mean, really, you're incredible. And
Thank
I'm so
you,
honored to know
and
you.
Me too. And I want us to recreate this night again. I want
oh.
us to go and dance and, you know, and keep shining the world, because you are such a big, big ball of light. Your soul is so special. I'm sure your audience know that, but if they know you personally, if they ever met you, just if they just saw your picture, they know you are amazing. And I'm so happy to know you. And I love you so much. You're such a special soul.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Oh, I love you, too. That was really touching. I really, really appreciate that. And I promise you, when we have our reunion, we are going to dance the night away, probably into the next night.
Yes. But, and on my next Oscar, and the next time I'm nominated for a big award, I want you to make my dress.
Done. Where do I sign? Absolutely.
We have it recording right now.
Yes,
we
it's yes. You've got it recorded. So there you go. But Rotem, again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to make this happen with me. You're such a wonderful soul. You inspire me too. So thank you. And everyone out there in Radioland, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as I did. And please take care of yourself and each other. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Style with Stevola, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.